Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
We have been all over the gamut on today's show. Welcome back, everybody. This is Oilers Now, brought to you by World of Spas, Edmonton's number one hot tub and swim spa dealer, the ideal place to start your daily vacation. We're going to head off momentarily to the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline, 780-496-0063. The River Cree Resort Casino, excitement, bet on it, open 24-7, 365. Keep texting us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. Lots of comments pertaining to trades. Also, we brought up the fact that Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, if they stayed as Oilers in their career, my hope would be that they would one day pass Wayne Gretzky, because it would be a sign in terms of goals. They're both closing in on 300. Wayne's got double that. It's a different time when Wayne played, but scoring is going up. And then we talked about the Battle of Alberta and how, you know, and I'm not writing Calgary off. I know they're about 18%. We're going to get some thoughts from Mark Spector here momentarily. Jay has texted us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line, 780-496-0063. Bob, I like the idea of playing the Flames over the Kings. I think we're built better to beat teams like Calgary. Sorry to say, but Taylor Hall was overrated. Hard to compare defense to forwards, but as much as it hurt, I think we needed Larson at the time. Taylor has underachieved since leaving Edmonton. Usually our trades go get Stanley Cups. Maybe this is Taylor's year. Well, there was one trade where Jarrett Stoll and Matt Green got cups, but the Oilers got the better player at the time of the deal, Vigenovsky. So you can text us, 780-496-0063. Guests on the show receive gift cards to Japanese Village, Edmonton's favorite teppanyaki steak restaurant. Come and check out their new location, 3975 Calgary Trail. We head off to the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline. Welcome back to the show, Sportsnet spec Mark Spector. For Aquarian Renovations, an experience where sharing gets started today at AquarianRenovations.com. Hello, Mark. How you doing?
Oh, doing pretty well. Bobby, I thought the most one-sided trade for sure was a trade that saw Stoll and Green going out. I thought Edmonton got killed in that trade. And I think there's a much more argument to be made between Hall and Larson. They're completely different players. But I thought the LA trade was no contest. I thought Edmonton got crushed in that trade.
If you recall, Jarrett Stoll was coming off of concussion issues at that time was not the player, and you would never meet a better guy. Like, he was just, you know what he was
hold
like.
Hold on. People thought that there might be concussion issues. Was there concussion issues? No, there wasn't, right? He played a long time and won cups after. So they may have thought that, but they were wrong.
Yeah, no, they lost the trade. And Vigenovsky was never, he got moved right before his no movement clause kicked in, as you recall. He was not happy here. He was, at the time, he was considered a better player than both those guys when the trade went down. What's the old comment from Sam Pollock? You get the best player, you win the deal. We'll tell you the genesis of this. So a texter said, could either Connor McDavid or Leon Draisaitl catch Wayne Gretzky in career goals? Well, there's only one way that happens, and that's if they play their other entire career. So then I thought back, Mark, to our interview with Wayne Gretzky in the 07-08 season when the Phoenix Coyotes were in town. Because there was a lot of concern about single ownership, as you recall, at that time. The Edmonton Investors Group had the team, and Wayne cut me off and said, and you know how polite Wayne is, and he goes, look, you guys, you know, you don't have to worry, you know, with Daryl Cates owning the team, he's going to sign his best players long-term. And you know what? That's what they've done. Now, they may have ended up trading them in the case of Hall or Eberle, and that was the genesis of how that conversation morphed. But you look at it, Nugent Hopkins, a 7-year and 8-year deal, right? Max term length deals. You got Draisaitl and McDavid both on 8-year deals. You got Nurse on an 8-year deal. The Oilers have signed, you know, their best players as long as they can. And
oh, yeah. In a cap world, look, all you can ask of your owner, like, there's owners like Jerry Jones that are standing on the sidelines, and there's owners like the Aquilinis in Vancouver that get really involved in hockey ops issues more so than they should. You know, you got other owners who hire coaches. All of that stuff happens all over the place. All I want from my owner, if I'm a Canadian hockey fan, is spend to the cap and make sure that when it's time to spend money that you're not leaving some on the table or saving some for someone else. And Daryl Cates, he's not around. We don't see him. He's not around the practice and all those things. But one thing about Darryl Cates is he spends to the cap every single year. He gives Ken Holland all the money he needs. So there's absolutely no track record here, Bob, that says when it comes time to spend money on McDavid and Draisaitl, that Darryl Cates isn't going to spend money on him. Absolutely. Well, the question is this where they want to collect their money? And
yeah,
you know, that's
one thing that, one thing that's going to help. We know they got to win. And so I want to talk about the impact of what we're seeing out of the addition of Matthias Ekholm. Because, Mark, right now the Oilers' top pairing is Matthias Ekholm and Evan Bouchard 5-on-5.
Uh-huh.
Like, Ekholm's plus 10 as an Oiler. And people say, it's inadequate. They're 10 goals for 2 against 5-on-5 when they're together on the ice.
So how many games he played here now?
I think he's played – I think he's 7. Yeah, I think he's played 7. So there you go.
So what do you want me to say about that?
What do you think? I mean, what do you think of it? How do you think it's worked out so far?
Oh, awesome. I mean, listen, I was a guy that...
I never tell you what to say. You know that.
I wasn't sure where the question
was. You wouldn't
listen
anyways, because we've had those conversations before.
Listen, I think Ekholm is more so than Chychrun, who plays a different style. Yeah, he's cheaper. Yeah, he's younger. If you're building a team for today, Ekholm's a better player. Today, Ekholm is the player the Oilers need more, and we're watching it. You know, I heard a reference to him and Larson earlier in the conversation with Staples, and listen, he's probably not quite as rough, probably not quite as physical as Larson, that's fair to say, but he's 3 times better with the puck on a stick. That feed he made, was it him that gave it to Bukestad last night?
Yes.
Yeah, what a dandy little sauce pass that was. He can carry the puck. He moves it way better. He's very good with the puck on a stick, and he's an excellent defender. This guy, you know, he's a really good addition heading into the playoffs here.
Well, Mark, I got another one for you, and you know how much I like Reed Schaefer. I might have liked Reed Schaefer more than any other media guy in town. I know what I saw against Seattle, and I know what the guys that are the former Golden Bear guys that are running teams as GMs or coaching teams in the Western League thought of Reed Schaefer, and they're like, Stoff, throwback player. They don't make him like that kid anymore. Like, he's a unicorn in today's game. I love Reed Schaefer. They gave up a number one. Tyson Berry was a popular guy. You know, it had been a while since Ken Holland had made a trade like that at the deadline. Ken does a lot of his work in free agency, and it's been good work the last couple of years. It's got to be stated. But the reality is the trade was worth it. Today, Mark Stewart spoke at an event with the fans, the season seat holders, and said point blank, you can already see the impact with Bouchard, and he talked about the potential impact with Broberg as well. And that was a really interesting comment, right? Like, you don't think that Broberg isn't taking some in with Ekholm in terms of how he plays the game, and they're going to be different because Broberg isn't as thick and heavy as Ekholm, but he can skate better. And so I think this has a chance. Plus 10 in 7 games, Spec. That's the numbers. 1 goal, 4 points.
Yeah.
Plus 10. I mean, come on. It's obviously been a good addition to this point so far. And maybe at 35, you know, he's looking a little slow of foot, but I don't think anybody can say. And he plays with such composure, Mark.
Yeah, a defenseman to play the way he plays, you know, knock wood on injuries, there's a long life on those guys. They can still help you into their mid-30s. You know, the Stanley Cup playoffs are dotted with guys like Ryan McDonough and, you know, Brooks Orpik and all these older, hard-nosed defensemen that, you know, maybe does he stop rushing the puck a little bit as much? Sure, he probably will. Does he play a smarter game and a little more economy emotion as he gets older? Sure, he probably will. But that defenseman, there's always room for a 35-year-old defenseman who knows how to take care of his own end on a Stanley Cup team. There always has been.
Yeah. Leon Draisaitl was on it last night, wasn't he? I know you asked him some questions after. Your thoughts.
Yeah, I wrote him top to bottom in my piece today. And, that's vintage Draisaitl last night. And, you know, when you look at his numbers, like, that's the piece I wrote. It's a fair question to ask. Is this guy the best European forward in the game today? And I'm counting Russians as Europeans. I realize that, you know, Russia can be in Asia too. But is he the best European forward? I mean, is he better than Pasternak? Well, he's got a lot more points than Pasternak, and they both came out of the same draft in 2014. You know, is he... I mean, you tell me, Bob. There's not many guys that have. He's about to have his. He's had what, 350 goal seasons, and he no, excuse me, 250 goal seasons, and he's about to have his third, and he's got four 100 point seasons. There are very few players in the game today that can claim those kind of numbers. This guy, it's hitting me, and maybe it's hitting me late, Bob. We're watching a Hall of Fame player here. That's what we're watching.
Yeah, Mark, since the start of the 16-17 season, McDavid's number one, Drysdale's number two in points, and it's not close.
Yeah.
Like, there's not a player in another team within 200 points of Connor, and Leon's 80 points up on Nate McKinnon, who's third.
Right. So,
we're not talking the best European player. We're talking one of the, you know, those numbers would suggest he's amongst the best players in the world.
Right. Right, and when you look at the list of guys that, I mean, it was fun last night, those stats you're throwing out. You know, Connor McDavid and Drysdale are the first two players to hit 100 points this year. They were also that last year, right? Yeah. The last time two teammates did that, it was Esposito and Orr in the mid-70s. Like, you're bringing up records with Espo and Orr, man. You know, that's serious stuff. Every time these guys do something, we're bringing up Mario Lemieux. In terms of European players with accomplishments Drysdale's at right now, we're talking about guys like Solani and Ovechkin and Jari Kurri and Jaromir Jagr. Like, all these guys are in the Hall of Fame. They're all the best players ever. And Drysdale's walking right in with all these guys. It's really impressive.
Mark, can you explain to our listeners how it works on the road versus how it works at home for potential player? Is it the same in terms of who gets... how the requests work and that sort of thing? I mean, obviously, before the game, we request players, because I'm not there post-game, Mark, because I'm doing the post-game show for Chad, right? So I'm not part of that process.
Yep.
And I put my request in if I want to do a one-on-one sit-down interview with a guy.
Yep.
Separate, right? Just because we're looking for 5 minutes. But maybe you explain to the listeners how it all works.
Well, practices and morning skates are a little bit different, but let's talk about after a game. The reporters that are at the game, we have a group chat with media relations man Jamie Cartmell. With sort of 5-6 minutes left in the game, he may send a prod out and say, hey, who do you guys want? Together we'll all throw some names in, and sometimes as a group, sometimes individually, but we'll ask. Basically, it'll boil down to three players who played in the game. And when those players walk off the ice, Jamie has their numbers on the whiteboard in the room. So those guys know when they get undressed, they take their skates off, they got to hang around and talk to the media. We don't get a chance to talk to all 20 guys. Aren't sitting there waiting for the media. It doesn't work that way, right? We pick three guys, and that's how it works. Those are three guys we get, plus Jay Woodcroft, and that's four guys to talk to. Bob, that's enough to write a piece off.
All right, so what happened Saturday in Toronto?
In Toronto, the media that was there is Daniel Nugent-Bowman and I. We asked for Ryan McLeod because he had made that fateful mistake.
Yep.
And we asked for Desharnais because he had been involved with Tavares in that mix-up. And I don't know, we just asked for him. And we asked for, I can't remember the third guy. I think it might have been...
For 71 and 73, and you went into the room, and what did you find?
Yeah, we found veterans instead. The veterans decided that, no, we're not going to let our young players go out and talk about a game that our team blew and take the sort of the, you know, responsibility. So instead of getting 90, or instead of getting 71, we got 91. Evander Kane, and instead of getting 73, we got 93, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. And you know what? As a journalist, I think I tweeted this. I feel like, you know, it's our right to ask for the players we want to talk to, and in most cases, we get them. And then this time, if that leadership group decided that, no, we're going to protect these younger guys, that's fine. I think that speaks well for the leadership group in the dressing room. And part of me admires that. Now, these guys are professionals. These guys are in the NHL. I recall Steve Smith talking as a rookie when he had his bad moment. And we've had our conversations behind closed doors, and this isn't something that should happen every day. But it happened once, and you know, no one's feathers are ruffled. We can live with it.
Remember Corey Cross?
I remember Corey Cross.
Yep, scored the overtime goal for the Maple Leafs against Ottawa and had like 87 cameras around him because it's Toronto. And then two games later, they bounced the puck in off his skate the way Tkachuk scored on off of Desharnais in that first.
Last night, yeah. Right?
Exact same play. And Cross is sitting there, and he's there with a bunch of cameras on him.
Well, so
two games later in the playoffs. Yeah. It's like, hey, you got to do it, man. It comes with the territory.
Well, it is literally – I know people don't care out there, first of all, about a journalist's job. I get that. Like, I'm on Twitter. I understand that completely. They side with the players, and that's fine. You're fans of the players, not the journalists. I get that. But it is part of being a National Hockey League player to speak to the media. It's literally we have an agreement between the league, the PA, and the PHWA, the Writers Association, that stipulates media access. And that media access is if you play, you should be available to speak. So, you know, let's talk about Ryan McLeod. We're not going in there to berate Ryan McLeod, right? We're not going in there to say, man, you made a dumb play. We're going in there to talk to him about what it's like to be that guy and what was he thinking and why did he make that play? And you know what? It's not when a guy comes out, Bob, we've been doing this 35 years, when a player comes out and said, I made a mistake and I don't feel good about it, it's generally speaking, we don't write him hard, and people who read the piece don't think he's a bad guy. They look at the piece and they go, you know what? I made mistakes. And when I write that piece, I say, I've screwed up. It's not, you know, people have this conception that we're all waiting to beat up on Ryan McLeod. It's the furthest thing from the truth, right?
Yeah, it is interesting. We should mention that if Connor does not contribute a substantial amount to a win, you know, I know there's been a couple times where, like, the national broadcasters, oh, we got to get Connor no matter what. Well, you had him pregame. Well, we got to get him postgame. Like the game in Boston, he didn't have a point. The Oilers won the game 3-2, right? They're, you know, right. ESPN's got that game. They want Connor before. They want Connor after. Yeah. And he's like, you need to go talk to Ryan McLeod. He scored the game-tying goal here.
Right.
Right? Or you need to talk to Darnell Nurse. He got the game winner. Like,
it's a dance we dance because Connor, first of all, he doesn't want to. On that day when Ryan McLeod scores the winner, he doesn't want it. He wants Ryan McLeod to get some glory, right? He wants Ryan McLeod to stand in front of the media and enjoy, you know, let's juxtapose it with what happened next game, right? Ryan McLeod had a very positive media experience in Boston and would have had maybe one that wasn't so much fun in Toronto, but that's life in the NHL, Bob. We all know that.
Brad has texted us on the Ashley Fine Flores text line. He says, Bob, it's got to be a tough job being an apologist for the Oilers' mismanagement. Great job, Bob. That one comes to us from Brad. I just said I didn't think they did a very good job in the Taylor Hall trade for Adam Larson, and Spec says they did fine in the deal, and I disagree. I think they lost the trade just because of the upside that Hall had. But you're entitled, Brad, to hear what you want to hear. And he goes, by the way, Bob, how many cups do McDavid and Draisaitl have? How many did McKinnon have? Well, you're right. McKinnon's up 1-0 over McDavid and Draisaitl. And, Mark, I'd say it right now, based on what we've seen so far this year, I'm going to switch focus. I still have Colorado as a favorite. I know, like, Don Lucision, he has Edmonton as an 11% Stanley Cup champion this year. I'm stunned it's that high based on what I broadcast the team's games. I would love nothing more to see Edmonton win the Cup. But until Edmonton can beat Colorado in overtime, I'm concerned about that matchup. What about you?
Yeah, it's a team you'd rather somebody else had to play,
yes.
Right? You know, they're just, I get it. They're not near the Colorado team they were last year. And, you know, Daryl Sutter was the one who said it was 8 wasted days playing Colorado last year. I don't think they're not that team. Landeskog hasn't played, and, you know, they've got some injuries, and they're muddling along here 1 point out of the wild card. But you know what? I'd rather let Minnesota play them, Bob.
I'm going to tell you right now, the Leafs are going to play them tonight. And Lehkonen got hurt now for Colorado as well.
Right.
I will predict
that's a big injury.
Toronto. I could see Toronto beating Colorado tonight 4-5-2.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
That Lehkonen injury is huge. He's a very good player.
He's an excellent player.
Especially when the playoffs come down, Bob.
Spec, great stuff.
All right, Bobby, have a great day.
That is Mark Spector for Aquarian Renovations, an experience worth sharing. Get started at aquarianrenovations.com. I found out today that we've actually got a couple more spots open. We're getting up there for our trip to California in April with New West Travel. You fly to L.A. to watch the Oilers play the Kings and the Ducks. This New West Travel package includes airfare, four nights at the Marriott L.A. Live, Lower Bowl game tickets for both games. We're going to do a couple welcome receptions, one in Edmonton and one in Los Angeles. For the California Hockey Tour, reach out to New West Travel or newwesttravel.com. We'll come back with the Oilers Now injury report when we return. The slogan, cars cost less than Wetaskiwins, attracted people to our friends at Brentridge Ford for years. We often talk about them treating people fairly and looking after their customers after a purchase. That level of service has earned Brentridge their 12th Diamond Club Presence Award. For customer satisfaction, if you want to be treated fairly with full transparency, call Uncle Milt, Rich, Johnny and the gang at 780-352-6048. Brentridge Ford, your Ford truck authority on the Auto Mile in Wetaskiwin. To the Oilers Now injury report, James H. Brown, injury lawyers. Trent Brown, the best football player I saw at the U of A in 40 years. Two-time CFL All-Star. 1 week, check this out, Brandon. 1 week, he was the offensive and defensive player of the week in Canada West football. You got to be pretty good to do that back in the day. He was unbelievable on returns as well. All right, here we go. Jay Woodcroft did an availability today. The Oilers they gave the team a bit of a break, did not practice today. Zach Hyman skated this morning at Rogers Place. Ryan McLeod, it is, I believe, if I got this, let me just check this. Got a little bit of information. Still waiting on word of Hyman and McLeod for tomorrow's game for availability. Hoping for speedy recovery for both. Not concussion related with Ryan McLeod, so that's good news. Dylan Holloway is in Edmonton, and I'm going to say it right now. Just remember, assuming Edmonton makes the playoffs, there's no salary cap once the playoffs hit. Just file that away in the... he may be an option for the Oilers. He was basically sent down to the farm because of cap-related reasons. Guy can skate, got to be able to skate come playoff time. Off to a global news weather traffic update with Randy Kilburn, former Edmonton Oilers player and coach and current head coach of the Alberta Golden Bears from Charlottetown PEI, Ian Herbers, when we return on Oilers Now.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.